listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come like a fire and burn. Come like the wind and cleanse. Convict, convert, and consecrate our hearts for our great good and for your great glory. Amen. So this is one of the harshest scenes in all of the Gospels. It just stings every time. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Turning and seeing disciples, Jesus turned to see his disciples. So what was about to happen was not a private thing, but it was in front of the crew. Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you not on the side of God, but of men." Both Peter and Jesus rebuke each other. It's not that Peter suggested that Jesus tone it down a little, or that he asked him to try it at a bit of a different angle. No, Peter rebuked Jesus in the same way that Jesus rebuked him back. It's the same root word used in Greek. So if Jesus said something, if what Jesus said sounded like, "Get behind me, Satan," what must Peter have been saying to Jesus? Well, we take a little scoot over and we look at Matthew and we'll get back to Mark. But if we look over at Matthew, we get a glimpse at what he said. "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. You're being persecuted and killed. God forbid this shall never happen to you." When Peter heard about Jesus talking about his death, his whole world just kind of turned upside down. The images of victory that he had in his mind just evaporated. Because being one of his closest disciples, he would have had some idea of where his place in the new world order might have been. Maybe he would have been the one determining where the most need was to feed the poor and dispensing the food in that direction. Or maybe he would have been the one triaging those who were sick and needed to be healed, making sure the ones who needed the most help got it first. Or maybe he would have been the one who oversaw all of those absolutely integral ministries to make sure that not too much was going to one place and not enough going to another. To make sure that all that treasure of the kingdom was being evenly distributed. Of course, none of this could happen if Jesus were dead. If Jesus were dead, then things would just go back to the way they were. The Roman guards would be shaking us down for the little that we had, and the tax collectors would be asking for that little extra on the top to line their own pockets. We don't have enough to begin with. No, God forbid it. Jesus has taught us the better way. Just give us a chance. Give us control. We can do all of this much better. Peter was looking forward to Jesus' reign as king, the kingdom of God, thinking that that kingdom would be playing by the old rules, by the rules of the kingdom of the world. The rules that says the ones who hold position and those who have control of the money and the flow of the money, those are the ones who can do the most good in the world. That's what he was looking forward to, with the best intentions, no doubt. But those old rules, no matter how many times we try to make them work, have broken down time and time again from their first attempt in the garden, where Adam and Eve tried to take some kind of control at the suggestion of Satan in the form of the serpent. So really, if we listen, there are some echoes. The rebuke from Jesus was not just because Peter took Jesus aside and, you know, gave him some of his own opinions. No, 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 no. It was a rebuke of Peter's worldview as a whole. He said, "Peter, you got it all wrong." It was a rebuke of the rules that he was playing by. It was, in fact, a rebuke echoing all the way backward in time to that first grasp of power in the garden. But again, in Mark, we don't really know the words. And this seems to be a gift that the Gospel of Mark brings to us. Mark tells us what is happening, but he leaves out all the details. He leaves out all the dialogue. It happened last week. So where last week we were able to locate our own temptations in the wilderness and have Jesus offer the answers for us, this week we get to locate our own rebuke of this dying so that we might live idea. We might locate that in the mouth of Peter. Or rather, place our broken grasp for power in that space that Mark has left us. And then let them be rebuked. Give them space to be called out at this eternal level, because it was not Peter that was being rebuked. He looked at Peter, and then he rebuked Satan. It was, in fact, Satan that he was sending away. It was the sin that was inside of Peter that Jesus was calling out and rebuking. And we all have places in our lives that we are trying to play by the old powers, by the old rules, looking for power and looking for resource. Granted, they will look different for each one of us, because for some of us, that fight for power and resource is in fact a fight against the old rules. An attempt at using our place in Christ to rebuke the way of Satan that embodies the rules of the world. Though we should be careful when invoking that place, it is surely there. But only this time, when we stand in this place, we don't get the grace of Jesus helping us through the wilderness. Rather, we get the rebuke of Jesus to the parts of us that are still trying to play the old way. And maybe we should be so lucky. Eugene Peterson, in his book Traveling Light, has this to say about the old rules as it plays out between Peter and Judas. He says, "One of the absolutely stunning successes was Judas, and one of the thoroughly groveling failures was Peter. Judas was a success in the ways that most impress us. He was successful both financially and politically. He cleverly arranged the control of the money of the apostolic band, and he skillfully manipulated the political forces of the day to accomplish his goal. And Peter, was a failure in the ways we all most dread. It was an important time of crisis that he completely failed in, and he was socially inept. He collapsed when he was called upon. He was a blustering coward, not the companion that we would want with us at the time of danger, nor the kind of person we would feel comfortable with in any social occasion. Time and time again, we see Peter cry out in earnest, most often in misunderstanding, but always in earnest. Peter is always trying to make Jesus into the king that he wanted him to be. And time again, Jesus told Peter that that is not the king that this world needs. Judas, on the other hand, worked in the shadows to make himself the king that he wanted himself to be. Imagine, had things played out the way both Judas and Peter were hoping for, meaning Jesus marched into Jerusalem and overthrew the rulers, taking the place of power by force. Well, Judas would have been one of the 12 that was with him the whole time. And he would have had the most money because he was siphoning it off the whole time. By the old rules, he would have had that real position. He would have had that real position of power between the 12. But as soon as he realized that Jesus wasn't playing by those old rules, he decided to cut his losses. And that's a sermon for another time. Eugene Peterson again. Time, of course, has reversed our judgments on the two men. Judas is now a byword for betrayal, and Peter is one of the most honored names in the church and in the world. Judas is a villain, and Peter is a saint. Make no mistake, Peter is not a saint by his own doings. No, at the last minute, he cut and ran, not unlike Judas. The difference is that he was still hoping that Jesus would be the king, not himself. That in the end, that Jesus, that desire for Jesus to be the king, that it was is what would take him to priesthood. And so again, we should be so lucky that we should have the space again left for us in the Gospel of Mark to take our own place to be rebuked by Jesus. A place to name the things in our lives and the places in our lives where we desire for those old rules of power and resource to apply. And we should be so blessed that when we put those places, when we put those desires in that place, that Jesus will rebuke us and call from us, call out of us, Satan, call out the cause of those desires. So when we sit down and we take time to name those things and invite that blessed rebuke, it will sting. Because it will feel like a wilderness. It will feel like a wilderness because the way forward that we thought was the way forward, well, it leaves that desire behind, and it does not carry that sheen of victory that we're used to. But it will lead to freedom in Christ. It will lead to a life where we name Jesus as Lord by his rules. One where failing like Peter is not only accepted, but positive. Not only positive, but good. Like capital G, good. Because every time we fail like Peter, where we try to lift Jesus up to be the king by our rules, we will learn how much better it is to be the servant by the rules of God. One of the practices that we would hear from Jamie from this spot when it was Lent and we came to the time of the lectionary readings that was Mark, he would say, I encourage you to sit down and read through Mark in an evening. It's quick. It'll take you an hour and a half. It's only 16 chapters. It's a whirlwind take of the gospel. And if you feel like doing it, do it. Or you could try reading Mark slowly. Pay attention to where he leaves the gaps in the dialogue and ask yourself, what might the conversation have been at the moment, and what might our conversations look like in those places? There will be moments of guidance through the wilderness, like last week. There will be moments of comfort, and there will be moments of joy and celebration. And there will surely be moments of rebuke, like tonight's gospel. But one thing is for sure. Whether we have found comfort or rebuke, that when we find ourselves in conversation with our Lord, we will always come away blessed. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.